Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithseanorourke.
Now, our regular folklorist, Michael Fortune, has joined me in studio. Good morning to you, Michael. We just passed the solstice there, marking the longest day of the year, of course. But you're here to tell us about a big night that follows this on June the 23rd, St. John's Eve. Tell me about it.
Yeah, St. John's Eve is it's a big day in the calendar for a lot of counties on our western seaboard, from Derry down to Cork. It was also in the eastern counties as well. It's very thin underground, but it's the eve of St. John's Day, which is the 24th of June, and St. John's Day is exactly 6 months to Christmas Eve, and basically it was a kind of a build upon the pre-Christian festival of the summer solstice, and basically this was a Christian take on that day.
And hugely interesting stories from various people right throughout the country on this. Let's have a listen, first of all, to some of your research, which is extensive. You've travelled the country talking to people about their memories of different traditions and their stories and tales and superstitions, of course, that they grew up with. Here are some of the voices you gathered on the topic of St. John's Eve.
Bonfire night, that's the 23rd of June. They'd always get a bone. Even I remember my mother, Philippe, when we were small, we wouldn't let out to them. As we got older, we all went to them. But she'd always make a little fire out in the street and get in. She'd have a bone picked. An old bone, you know.
That was
a big night. It still is, really, now.
It is. They still continue.
They do.
The bonfire night.
Yeah, they do.
I lived out in the farm, and it was in a quiet place, but we always had a bonfire. But when the fire was nearly out, when we were getting ready to go, we'd bring coals, and round about we had to throw a coal into every field that was near us. And that was supposed to bring luck for the year and the harvest.
They'd take the burned up coals and bring off one in the one with them, throw them in their own fields so that they'd have good crops during the year.
You'd go to the bonfire. They'd say, when it'd get late at night, they'd say the rosary. They'd have how many pebbles?
Five
pebbles in their hand.
For the five decades, right?
As they finish each decade, I think, they'd throw in a pebble into the fire. Yeah. And when that was done then, the fire was nearly out. They'd be there a long time. And they'd take a coal, we used to call it a coal, one of the burnt bits and pieces, take it home and bring it and throw it inside the field.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Five pebbles in the hand, one for every decade of the rosary. That'd take an awful long time, wouldn't it, Michael?
It would indeed. I love the way they talk about the bonfire, rather than a bonfire.
Exactly, yeah. I thought it was a bonfire. They actually put an actual bone into it, did they?
Yeah, that was common even for the Halloween bonfires, our bonfires, I should be calling them, where children would be sent around to get a bone. And even the Irish for bonfire is tin a canav,
which literally translates as it.
But yeah, it was lovely the way they all use that term.
And very interesting what they did with the coal as well.
Thrown it into the fields or in where they'd have spuds. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
I suppose it's like spreading holy water or that kind of thing, of spreading something on the land just to protect the crops or to bring good luck. And there was an awful lot of good luck around the fire. Whether we'd be jumping over them or whether it'd be in that case throwing them into the fields with the spuds. I think yourself were saying that in Galway people would throw the.
That's true. I remember. I'm not sure if it still happens, but I know in my own home place of Ciarán Beag and in Chiarua in Connemara, we lived by the coast, and we could see on St. John's night, we could see fireballs flying into the air. And you say that's particular to Galway and Mayo.
Yeah, I've only come across it again in the western counties. But it's an interesting tradition. It died out in parts of Leinster and Dublin, and that's tin underground in Wexford and Kilkenny, but it went to Newfoundland, travelled over with us, I'd say. But it's part of a wider celebration around St. John's Day or St. John's Eve. And you'll get it in Scotland, you'll get it in Wales, you'll get it in parts of England, but you'll also get it in France and northern Spain and the Basque Country. You'll get it over in Bulgaria, you'll get it in Poland, Estonia. So they're big, they're, it's a big day.
And it's pre-Christian. It started pre-Christian, didn't it?
Well, I'd say the summer solstice was the celebration of the summer solstice was pre-Christian, but then with St. John's Day, whatever, I'd say that helped spread with Christianity, would have brought it to those countries like Poland and places like that.
Is that when it spread? And yeah. The fire element of it, lighting the fire and maybe the fireball and so on, and throwing the bone or pebbles or coal into the fire. When did that happen, or when did that start in Ireland especially?
I'd say the fire was always there, because it's that time of the year. It's the time when we've got most light in the sky, and after the 21st, or after that kind of period, those couple of days, we start going back into the dark again.
Yeah. Is there a connection, Michael, between St. John's Day and the plant, the St. John's herb?
Yeah, it was kind of said it was the best day to pick the herb, and the herb they said with many kind of curing properties. People would have said years ago, through kind of local kind of folklore and cures, it would have been used for depression. It would have been used for sore eyes. There are a lot of different types of cures. But they said it's got when you squeeze the herb, there's a kind of a red juice comes out of it, and said that was the blood of John the Baptist. That was how it got.
That's what they used to say about.
Yeah, that's what they said about.
And there's also a very important tradition, or was certainly around this time of year, the potato harvest tradition. That was a very strong one, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were kind of two fixed dates for sowing and for digging new potatoes, new spuds. And the 29th of June was the big one, and you would get that in Wexford, you get it in Offaly, you get it in Tipperary, and I suppose where the early potatoes would come from, those counties, that was the date. So even at home ourselves, you'd always have the first spuds dug on the 29th of June, and the 17th of March was the date to plant them by. You'd have to get them in by the 17th
of
March.
And was there a pishrog or a superstition around not getting them in around that time? What happens if you miss the date?
I think it's well gone now at this stage.
You'd have bad spuds, is that it?
Well, people kind of believed it, yeah. And maybe it was just trying to get ahead of the elements and stuff like that, get ahead of nature. Mm. You talk to anyone now and people go, you can grow spuds.
And the bonfires, going back to the bonfires then, if you didn't light a bonfire, was there a superstition around that? Was there a need to light a bonfire to bring good luck, or was it just simply to mark the solstice?
There was a good luck element to it, for sure. There was a good luck element to it. And then over time, these things just become lost. The kind of the real origin becomes lost, or just becomes changed. Mm. And they become kind of community events. But still, like as you described, that throwing the ball up into the air, that goes back further than you think,
And it's amazing that it's still strongest on the west coast of Ireland, as opposed to, you say, it's kind of died out mostly in Wexford and Kilkenny. Why do you think that is?
Well, one of the massive things even some traditions, whatever, just due to change or modernization, like even our, we have a lovely tradition of, or actually Mayo and Galway have a lovely tradition of call the straw boys. Now, we had that until the 50s and 60s when weddings were held in people's homes at home in Wexford, but it died out. Then when people started going to hotels for weddings, the tradition died out of calling around to your house.
Can I ask you then about the how it's situated and how it's gone about this the bonfires? Very often on elevated sites, you say.
Yeah, the bigger, the higher, and the bigger, the better. And I suppose there's a lot of kind of showing off going on as well. If you basically put one up in your village, and you'd want the neighbours down the road to see how big your one was, basically.
Yeah, that's it.
You'll still find them. Galway, Mayo.
But the desire, Michael, to light a fire and gather around as a community isn't gone completely in Dublin, because go to Dublin, anywhere in the community, in Halloween, for example, you'll have children gathering stuff and sending them to one pile in a local spot, and they'll light the fire then in the night time. So the tradition lingers, but maybe not at this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was absolutely. I love maybe the fire service wouldn't agree with me, but I do. I do. I love seeing the bonfires in Dublin, in the city, even in Cork, and the cities will have them. Derry will have them at Halloween as well. The St. John's Eve bonfires were in Dublin, but they kind of died out in the 1700s, and they were kind of just kind of slowly waned out then after that.
Very often in terms of folklore, you tell us that there's a linguistic or an Irish language element to this as well, especially in the southeast, you say, in terms of St. John's Eve. It falls, of course, in June, but they have a different name for it, do they?
Yeah, again, it crops up it's scarce on the ground, but it's cropped up that whatever, traditionally in the past in Wexford, it was called Féile Óin. Month of June was referred to Féile Óin, rather
Irish rather than June or Mehev.
Mehev.
And I was talking to a friend of mine, a colleague of mine from Radio on the Gaeltacht, who's from the Gaeltacht in the Rhine. They say they have different names or had different names for different months of the year as well, based on saints or whoever or traditions. So that lingers, that tradition. What else can we say about this time of year and this tradition? Because the last time you were into me, I think, on this programme, we were talking about the traditions of May. And you say, you told me at the time, if you hear the cuckoo in May, you'll survive for a while. So we both heard the cuckoo in May, by the, evidently. So is there anything like that in this time of year, in the solstice and the fires? Is there anything in relation to death or survival or life attached to this?
Well, there would have been. The fire would have been a sign of life. It would have been and this kind of idea of doing things, throwing bits into your vegetable garden, to your spuds, or your things. That was life for your crops as much as, you know, because your crops were an important part in your life as well, you know, and maybe not for the, you know, also things like jumping over the fire. That's a kind of common one all over the European versions of St. John's Eve and St. John's fires, was this jumping over the fire. You've probably seen it in films years ago.
The fire service will not be happy with that one. What happened?
Just that literally, you'll come across it in northern Spain where they'll either jump over the fire or it'll be that classic walking on the cinders.
But come here to me, it must be dangerous. And I wonder, in your research, have you come across any tragedy associated with this festival?
No, I haven't. There's very thin lines, whatever, with insurance and stuff like that, because I remember in Ballinrobe, that recording we just heard was recorded in Ballinrobe in Mayo. We wanted to launch the collection on the DVD collection that in 2009, so we had to get a bonfire, and we had to kind of tread lightly with, you know, yourself, with getting permission to light a bonfire.
Yeah,
and but in the turnover, we had two bonfires, so we were grand. We got away with it in the end.
Tell me finally, is this an ageing population thing? Will these traditions, even along the West Coast, die out in a generation or so or less?
No, I don't think they will. I think once we keep them alive, in a sense that people can participate in them, not just for pure academic research, where they're part of your lives, where someone in Ballinrobe will go down and there's a fire there and the child will see the fire and that'll be remembered, or whether it'll be young lads at home in Wexford talking about the Banshee or the fairies, whether they believe it or not, but these are the stories that they grow up with. I think we're in a healthy place. I think we're in a very healthy place. I think we've got loads of tools of video, tools of recording, and tools of like Facebook and social media.
Speaking of which, you recently launched a DVD, a folklore DVD. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, basically it was for the last 20 years I've been doing collections in different counties, Tipperary, Limerick, Derry, Mayo, Wexford, and basically we launched a collection, three different individual collections in the National Library, and they're all available. You can buy them on folklore.ie or you can view most of them online as well.
Okay, fantastic stuff. And dare I say it, in June, a great Christmas present. But Michael Fortune, folklorist, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Cormac.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.